Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody! Happy NFC Championship Game Friday! It is a football Friday of the championship game, Jonas!
What's up?
Finally, it's here. It's Friday. We only got two more days to go. All right.
Yeah, last week was nice. It was on a Saturday.
Oh my God!
You have to wait longer this week.
I know.
Thank God it's 3 o'clock.
Oh my God! 53 hours, but nobody's counting. 53 hours until kickoff on Sunday of the big game, and we have reached this moment. It is a very impassioned day today. I know it's going to be passionate. Everybody's going to be freaking out, man. We're going to be talking all about this thing. I want to know all your plans, what you're going to do. I want you to play out the game. What's going to happen? Predictions of this Eagles victory. I think the town feels very good, feels very strong. I have an update from a story. If you listen to us all the time, you know, we tell you all these tales and everything that happens to us. Well, a while back, I guess it was like 2 weeks ago, but it was right before the Giants game. It was like between that. It was probably actually before the bye week of the wild card round. I had run into this dude at Wawa who was a creep.
Oh, I remember this guy.
All right? And he was ripping me and you know, about being a homer and the Eagles, and he says he was an Eagles fan and this and that. Goes on this whole thing. So lo and behold, who do I run into this morning? Because I don't usually stop at this. So it depends on the Wawa that I stop at. This was the 322 Wawa in Jersey. And I next thing you know, I see the dude. And I didn't say nothing. I just stared at him like that empty stare, right? And then I just smiled. And then he went, "Cuz, I got to give it to you, cuz. This team's going to the Super Bowl." I said, "What?" He went, "Yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl, Go Birds!" I was like, "Hey, the hell with it, Go Birds, buddy." This guy who was, well, I told you I wanted to punch the guy in the face the last time we met. His whole attitude, you want to talk about a 180. And you know what my take was? Good. All right? Let's get everybody on board. There's none of the naysay. There's none of the fatalism that has been a disease in this town forever. That fatalism that was spelled with a PH has been a disease rampant in this town. All right? And, yeah, I don't want to hear, like, well, you know, it's warranted, and we've gone through all this stuff. So what? All right? There's no reason not to believe. There's no reason not to believe that this team will be in the Super Bowl, that they'll win on Sunday, and we will celebrate 2 weeks leading into the biggest game of them all, and that we'll get another Super Bowl appearance and hopefully another parade. All right? There's no reason not to think. So I want to hear all about where you got. I want unbridled enthusiasm today. You know, listen, there's been a couple people say this to me over the last couple weeks, and I think it's just really cool and spot on. The sentiment that 2018, you know, 2017 season, 2018 Super Bowl, was for the whole town of Philadelphia, but maybe most particularly for those long-suffering fans, right? Those that are up in age, that have, you know, cried and just been through it for so long, and those who passed, that Super Bowl was dedicated to them. That it was almost a gift from the universe for those people. That there was divine intervention. Because we remember how lucky the whole thing was, right? How lucky the run was. Well, the interesting thing of this run, there's no luck. They're just good. There's no luck involved. Now, obviously, that team is different because they lose Wentz and Foles comes in and the whole thing. But they were lucky, right? They were lucky in how they finished. They were lucky in how they beat Atlanta. They were lucky a million different ways, right? Doug had the horseshoe that he carried around in his pocket. There's a lot of luck. And the difference today in this team, they're not lucky. They're just good. They're just excellent. They're a good football team. There's no luck involved. They didn't get lucky and play the Vikings in the NFC title game, right? When the Saints should have been there. And that Saints team was rolling. Breeze, the whole thing, Michael Thomas, Kamara, you know. They didn't get lucky. They're facing the Niners. Best team other than the Eagles, right? The best team they could face is San Francisco. And they're facing San Francisco. They go 14-3, no luck involved. In fact, the luck was on the other side in the sense that they run into some bad luck against Washington or it would have been 14-2, and if Jalen got dinged up, who knows, right? So 14-3 is well-earned. 14-3 is accurate for this team. This team is not about luck. This team is about quality, and this team is just freaking good. So when they get to the Super Bowl, and I mean when they get to the Super Bowl, it will be warranted and earned. And this victory will be for the rest of us. If the last one, which was the first one, was for all the old-timers, all the veterans that we love, those who passed away, those people that died, you know, Eagles, just they love the Eagles. You live and die, Eagles, you know, the Eagles, the E-A-G-L-E-S life. Well, this Super Bowl would be for us. And I love that sentiment. Good morning, Chudas!
What's going on, man? We're another day closer. Finally.
Great?
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean,
yeah,
awesome. I just can't wait. Sunday's going to be an absolute blast. Sunday, 3 o'clock. Everybody's fired up. I mean, just waking up this morning, you know, I'm ready to go. It was great. My sister-in-law is watching Coop today.
Okay.
And when I dropped him off at the house, one of my nephews, he's only like 1.5. They got him all decked out in the Eagles gear. And I'm like, that's awesome, man. Like,
I love that.
Let's go. Like, the kid, you know, I'm glad that he's all fired up. Not that he knows at all what's going on,
but it's awesome.
It's just cool. And you know, I'm thinking of, we always talk about the next generation of fans and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's just cool seeing that stuff and seeing another Eagle fan born, into the fun that we're dealing with right now. And I want to touch on something that you said. The fatalist mentality and how that's kind of behind us. And you said that, look, some people will tell you that it was warranted. Well, Ant, recently, what has been terrible? There really hasn't been much. Look, it was awful with the Phillies for a while, but the Phillies break through and get to the World Series. And even if they didn't get to the World Series this year, I would have been happy because it was the beginning of an upward trajectory for this team with the talent that they have, with the young arms in the farm system. With the Sixers, has it been great? No, they don't get out of the second round, and it's great to marvel at Joel Embiid, but they, you know, that might just be it for some people. But think about this. They just played Ben Simmons in the Brooklyn Nets the other day. You got James Harden out of that deal. James Harden, who might not be the same Houston Rockets James Harden, but James Harden, who's still going to give you a triple-double on a given night. Like, he's still going to give you 25, 10, and 10, or 20, 15, and 15. He's still giving you that. He's giving you 50 times more than what Ben Simmons is giving the Brooklyn Nets and what Ben Simmons was giving you. The Flyers, they just kind of stink right now. It's the beginning of a rebuild.
You know what? And let me tell you one thing, though, about this Flyers team.
Yeah, they're gritty. They're not going to win anything.
No, they're not. But they're trending.
Right. They're trending in the right direction.
I
like Tortorella.
Yeah. And my only point is, they showed, like last night, they're on the road. Minnesota's a tough team. Minnesota lost three in a row going into that game. And, you know, they take their early lead. Minnesota goes up 2-1. It's a tight game. And they tie it.
Yeah.
With a minute and a half to go in the game. They go to overtime. They lose. But, they like,
There's signs of growth for this team.
Yeah, that's all.
Especially just this season alone. Remember, yeah. It was really bad to start the year. So I'll give you that. But there hasn't been really anything terrible recently.
Right.
And if anything, there's been a lot more good than bad. So we should have that behind us, that negative attitude, that, you know, Negadelphia, Manic, where, you know, we've had that,
conversation
before.
And the fatalism is even different than the Negadelphia thing. Fatalism is though the universe has it out for us, right? Like that there's something that we're paying, some debt that we're repaying, you know, and we're fatalistic about it. It's going to drop because good things don't happen to us because we're in the crosshairs of the universe.
Yeah. Sports gods.
Yeah. And that's not true. That's not true. And the fact of the matter is the Roaring Twenties are alive and well. And this decade in this town will be one long party.
Yeah, they make one more. If the Eagles get to the Super Bowl, my prediction at the beginning of this decade of 9 championship appearances by the end of it, well, we'll already be a third of the way there.
Yeah, I think it's going to come true.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
A third of the way there in, you know, the first 2 years and a couple months.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good. That's good for us. And I would love it for it to actually amount to the championships, of course, like to actually win the title. Union didn't win. Phillies didn't win. Hopefully the Eagles can pull it off in the Super Bowl once they make it. But just getting there, enjoying rides every single year, that's all you can really ask for. It could be a whole lot worse. You could watch a team that's always an 8 seed in the NBA playoffs, which the Sixers were before the tank, right, before the process. We've seen football teams. How many times did we talk about the Cleveland Browns and the list of quarterbacks that they've gone through or teams that have gone through coach after coach after coach? The Eagles have benefited from not having to go through a carousel of coaches and, you know, quarterbacks a little bit different, but it looks like they got a good one now. Like, things are really good for us right now.
I think you nailed it, dude. I think for sure. You know, everything is good. The Roaring Twenties, when I said, yeah, when I predicted it, yeah, no, and again, you know, I'm not Nostradamus, right? So when I predicted the Roaring Twenties, it was based off of Simmons and Wentz.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, that we were going to, and basically the ebb and flow of how franchises go, that we thought the Phillies would be in contention. They're as soon as they got rid of, they were going to get rid of Klentak, and the next guy to come in,
they just gotten Harper,
was going to change it all, right? And you could see, like, you could smell it, and it just so happens sometimes when life gives, when the universe gives, it gives what you don't expect, right? It happens the way you least expect it, you know, because we as human beings love to plan things out, right? You're a big planner.
That's me.
Right? You have this plan. Like, you're planning your life out. I want to get here. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have a kid. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Everything's planned out. And the truth of the matter is the universe will lead you.
Right.
And your own path, assuming you do what's right, your own path will, you know, kind of crystallize for you. And, you know, it'll take you there. And our sports path is en route to, a very fun time, man. This is real. There's going to be multiple championship appearances and I think multiple parades.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, you're not just saying that based off of one good year, right? You look at the way these teams are built. The Eagles are built, and we've gone over this multiple times. The Eagles are built to potentially have that D word in front of them. Depending on how, you know, things work out with Jalen Hurts once he gets paid, because that's going to happen, right? Jalen Hurts is going to get a nice contract. But right now, you have a lot of guys locked up for 4 or 5 years from now, right? You got A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert locked up for a long time. The offensive line is locked up. Jason Kelce, I hope he plays for the next 15 years, but eventually he's going to have to retire, and you already drafted his replacement, who's learning behind one of the best centers of all time.
Which also speaks to the depth of this roster.
Yes, exactly.
And at some point today, I will go through the depth of the roster and give some more roses to the executive of the year named by the Pro Football Writers Association, one Howie Roseman.
Yeah, and he deserves it, man. He deserves it. I still remember before the season started, you were in Italy, and I asked for 10 people to call in, Ant, to say, my name is Andrew, and I'm happy that Howie Roseman is the GM of the Eagles, or executive, whatever, you know, his exact title is. And I couldn't get to 10. And that was amazing to me. And that was after the C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade. I hope that we could get to that now. I would think we could get to that now, because he built another team that can win a Super Bowl. But what he also learned from his mistake, I can't even call it mistakes from the last one, but what we now see is a team that's built to be able to do this for a couple of years. Whereas the 2017 season, that was more of a one-hit wonder. They had the chance, if Alshon doesn't drop it and they beat the Saints, they could have gone back to that a second year, but that team wasn't really built for the long run, whereas this one is.
You know, it's funny, my buddy Jim from the Palm, who was a good caller, and is always checking in with us. And Jimmy is like, I'm so happy that I did my mea culpa.
I remember that.
And he sent it to me yesterday. He sent me this note. The Howie Roseman has been named PFWA NFL Executive of the Year. And he went, so glad I said my bad to Howie. Because now, he wasn't shackled by his own need to be right, that his thoughts were in stone. He was not, he goes, you know what, I'm so happy because I can root for the team he loves and know that, listen, there are times when things point to a certain way and, the people deserve to be criticized, right? And then much like Jalen, look what Jalen, last year, Jalen did had a lot of work to do in front of him, and nobody knew that he would be able to play like this.
Yeah, anyone who says they did, you didn't.
And he has had an amazing year, and much like Howie, who has had some terrific drafts, has always had an eye for, could always trade, always had an eye for undrafted free agents. Always manipulated the cap.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a great GM, man. He's just an elite general manager. He earned his bones, in this league when everybody called him a cap guy and, go crunch numbers, and he made his way. It doesn't get more, humbling than when Chip Kelly puts you in the other side of the building. He says, here, do contracts, right? I mean, that's what Chip Kelly did. He pushed him to the other side of the building, kicked him out of his office, and said, go do contracts. And Howie could have left, got another job. And, he's very close with Jeffrey. He said, I'm going to stick it out, and we'll see what happens. And he used his time to go, reinvent himself. And look what happened, man. He comes back, and he's going to go to his second. He could go to his second Super Bowl. I mean, with multiple quarterbacks, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I saw a graphic recently of where the championship games have been held, right, in the NFC and the AFC, and just like the NFC East, how there hasn't been a repeat NFC East winner since 18 years ago, there hasn't been a repeat conference championship location in the last 10 years. That tells you that it is not easy to win the NFC championship
game
or host the NFC championship game. Let me say that. And the Eagles are doing it again. And they had to rebuild.
Right.
Right. 5 years ago doesn't seem like a long time ago, depending on how you're looking at it.
Well,
right?
It's the life of a franchise.
Right, exactly. But there's teams that are still doing it 5 years later, but he had to basically tear the thing apart. Part of it, his own mistakes, but a lot of it, Carson Wentz and his issues. And look, 5 years later, we're back with many years ahead of us, too. Like, I feel great. You got to feel great about this franchise.
I know.
Man.
I mean, if you think about Jeffrey Lurie's presided over championship games.
Oh, yeah.
All right? 01, 02, 03, 04, 08, 18, and now 23.
Amazing.
I mean, it really is impressive. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to get you pumped up. We got an array of bells that we got to get to because, you know, it's going to be a bells type of day. We're going to get nuts. A couple other things. Coming up at the bottom of the hour in just a little less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk to the Eel. Speaking of good fortune in Philadelphia and shedding our fatalism, the Sixers rolling, right? And we'll have the Eel. And Boston, by the way, losing to the Knicks last night.
Yeah, interesting.
I like that. Hold on. There's nothing. They're so good. Unbeatable. Blah, blah. And on a day when Joel is not a starter. Are you kidding me? How is he not a starter in the Eastern Conference?
Now, I know this is a fan vote, but you know what Adam Silver should do?
Yes.
Hey, you fans are idiots.
Yeah.
Like,
how does that happen?
He's the best player in the league.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's a joke.
If I'm Adam Silver, I change the rules
now. It's such a flat-out joke.
Well, I didn't realize that the fans of this sport are morons. Let me change this.
It's just terrible.
As commissioner.
Absolutely terrible.
Put it on the table, Adam.
Yeah,
come on.
Just, yeah.
Stupid. You already lost Christmas Day to football.
Yeah.
Why don't you fix your All-Star game?
That's terrible.
Alien.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to get angry.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfair.
Everybody's out to get us, eh?
I know. I told you.
I just saw one of these shows on the TV up there. Bet 49ers money line.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Okay. All right.
Lose your money then,
yeah.
Dave, whatever your name is.
Yeah, I know. These guys, get out of here. So the Eel's going to join us. Daryl Morey coming up at 10:30. And then I want to hear from all you guys, you know, Chance and you know, from all across the Delaware Valley. I need excitement. I need loud. I need, I need enthusiasm and fervor and froth. I need it all today as we get ready on a football Friday. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas, and we're live at the Parks Race and Sportsbook inside Chickies and Pete's right here in Malvern.
And uh-oh.
What?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh what?
49ers fans messed up again.
What happened?
They may have defamed another statue.
The Rocky statue again?
Bring it on.
Come on, you got to be kidding me. What'd they do this now?
They just put a Niners jersey over them, or a little t-shirt.
Are you serious?
Bring it on.
How about these losers? Are you kidding me?
Late in the night.
Wow. Burn that thing. Burn it. You done bleeped up.
Eagles minus 9. Go
all
on.
Right.
Line.
That's it. You don't learn. Those fraud Vikings people, they did it and they start crying afterwards. Same thing for the wine and cheese crowd. All right. Lots to do. Cuz Radio Chunas 97.5 The Fanatic. Listen up.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us, the architect of this squad, our friend, the Eel, Daryl Morey. What's going on, Eel?
Anthony, thanks for having me on. What a time. I'm excited for the Birds, the Sixers, like you said. I'll be tailgating 11:30 on Sunday. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
I love it.
We get that Philly feeling. I will say though, Joel Embiid completely posed once again. This time, to your point, the perpetrators of the crime were the shameless media, who most of them have recused themselves because they don't want to vote on something that affects players' paychecks. But the shameless Boston media is way overrepresented. They haven't recused themselves, and they shoved Joel low enough so that he's not an all-star starter. It's crazy.
Amen, brother. I can't take it. The other day I went on a rant about this whole thing. It's not right. It's just not right. I don't understand how a guy of his ilk who has given you night in, night out. I mean, seriously, the type of level of basketball that he has played, it's a crime. I mean, really. I mean, the commissioner should actually step in and do something about it.
Yeah, well, they do the opposite. They anti-do stuff about it. Instead of going to All-NBA and All-Star system that, you know, would basically just put the five best people on the floor.
Yep.
They continue to hold on to, like, antiquated notions of, you know, symbols that we put next to players. You know, as if you go around the league, and you have to do it, I can't mention their names. There are so many players who are unique to history that you can't put them in a box of, you know, an F label or a G label or a C label. And so it's just so antiquated, and they've actively resisted making this change, even though it makes sense.
Yeah, and you're so right about that whole thing being antiquated. I mean, we've been talking for years about positionless basketball and, you know, bigs who face the basket and you name it, you know, stretch fours, like all this other stuff. It's not. It's five guys anymore. That's it. I mean, that's going away in 1994. That started to go away. So, I mean, we're years
but
even
after. Crazier is the league office done a good job to get us to positionless basketball. They've made rule changes. They've made the game the best it's ever been. And yet they're still, like, someone sat down in 1948 and, you know, put these position labels on people, and we're still voting on them, you know, 60 years later. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it really is. It's insane. And for the fact, I look at Joel, I mean, if anybody deserves to have great success and shove it up everybody's gee-gee, it's Joel. All right? I mean, all the
well, and he will. And he will, too. He will. He'll do it himself. I'm glad Troll Embiid came out again.
Yes,
after last game. Like, I like Troll Embiid.
Him.
I know others don't. I know others don't sometimes. I love Troll Embiid. So.
I do too, brother. I love Troll. I can't wait. Tomorrow's going to be incredible, too. Listen, he's going to have a monster tomorrow night. You know that.
I think the first time ever they've faced off in Philly, which is amazing. I haven't checked it, but someone told me. They played
true.
In Denver a few times, but never here. So,
how about this team, the way it's playing? All coming together. And you got through the rough spot of the injuries where, you know, at one point it's just Joel. And then it's all three guys are out before James comes back and then Tyrese comes back. So, you know, ultimately, everybody kind of getting their roles elevated, I think it's helped this team.
Well, Doc and his staff have done an incredible job all year and really emphasizing the we of the team and everyone be a star in their role. And it's really coming together. Obviously, we've got a very tough stretch coming up in March. But, you know, we've had a bunch of signature wins during this stretch as well. And it's created, like, things like winning in Sacramento, one of the hottest teams in the West. Without Joel and James, you see that as you get down to guy 10, 11, 12, these guys can really play and would be starting or playing big minutes on other teams. And that's a very difficult situation for a coach to handle. I think Doc's done an incredible job with that. It's also made our job at the trade deadline very difficult because it's, you know, look, our only goal, we've had multiple days of meetings this week We're going into another meeting right after this call on, you know, finding someone who can contribute to this team. And, it, you know, look, it's our job, but it's hard because we look around the league, we go like, that guy's not better than, you know, right, our 11th guy who just won the game in Sacramento for us. So it's a harder year, but hey, we'll find somebody, I think.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you bring up that Kings game. I mean, you're down big, right? You're down big in that game. And, you know, I mean, they're relentless. I mean, what I love about this group, and this group feels different. I mean, you said it. Look, last year when you get Harden, this thing was about, hey, we'll take a shot, but really it's about next year when we can fill out the roster. And you filled out the roster. By the way, Melton, who we loved before the season, somehow I love him even more. Dude, that was the get of all gets. De'Anthony Melton.
Yeah, no, he's really stood out. He was at the Sixers Youth Foundation charity. I talked to him last night, and he's just so happy to be here. The way he gets, I mean, people see the defense, they see the shot making, and how it fits with Joel. But things like key rebounds, he's probably been our biggest key rebound guy. And the other thing I love, and obviously we're in a, you know, we're in a good stretch. We'll probably have a tough stretch here, and we'll need people to hang with us through that, but we'll build through it, is the thing that I really love is that we play differently when, you know, you go in that Sacramento game and you don't have Joel and James, and a lot of the work we've done with Maxey and, you know, him being on the floor with sort of our high-energy shock troops like Trez and Paul Reed, you know, we play differently. We play with energy. I encourage people to go watch the end of the Sacramento game and what PJ Tucker did.
Yeah.
It was such a veteran move on this rebound that, I mean, he basically made sure we got there. Even though he didn't get the rebound, he took out like three guys. He was like a, polling lineman taking out three guys.
He was like Lane Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. It was incredible. So,
yeah, and you know, like I extrapolate, like think about, you know, last year's team, which I still think if Joel was healthy, that we beat Miami. Now you add these pieces for this year's run, and like you could see it, right? I mean, and you know, like early on, I think people were a little frustrated, but you got to realize that it takes some time for everybody kind of to play together, to learn how to play together. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the sport. Let them grow a little bit.
Yeah, I thought we had a shot last year as well. I did underestimate the time it would take James and Joel to develop this chemistry that they've gotten to now. But it's, you know, Doc and those two have it really humming right now. And look, I mean, proof is in the pudding, but you know, I think this March stretch is going to be really good for us. Obviously this Denver game, you know, just to hone our craft against some of these better teams as we prep for April.
Yeah, it's funny because I was trying to think about what you need. First of all, you know, I loved the switch with Maxey coming off the bench, something I was talking about for a while, only because it just makes it easier to kind of cover all 48 minutes the way you want to cover it. And he's such a great kid, and you knew that he would embrace the role. And like the other night, I mean, you know, he's able to kind of to stem that tide and let you grow and allow Doc to kind of fill out the rest of the 48.
Completely embrace it and allows him to grow more, right? Because I think obviously he's such a key to now and the future. And, you know, Doc giving him the keys for decent chunks of the game allows him to grow more. And so I think that was part of Doc's logic. Also, it allows Joel and James to increase their chemistry. Obviously, that's going to be key at the ends of games as well. So, look, I think it just shows, you know, how well Doc has got this group focused on being a star in your role and, you know, just focused on how to help the team win. And it's been a real testament to our coaching staff.
I like how the team is finishing games now, too. It's a different feel at the end of games now. You know, first of all, Joel, and I know this is a Doc thing, Joel, that, you know, elbow, free throw line elbow shot that he just is money every time. He's honed that shot. He's passing at the end of games, taking care of the ball. There's a good flow. There's some good optionality at the end of games now.
Yeah, Doc and Joel have really worked on that. It's become a go-to. It's become a go-to. I think we still have, you know, when we face some tough defenses, both zone and also against heavy switching lineups, where we've got to continue to hone our craft. But it's been really good. As you point out, we've won overtime games. We've been down in the fourth. We've been tied in the fourth. And Joel, James, Maxi, Doc, the coaching staff have done a really good job executing in those instances.
I was trying to think about what this team could use. Like, you brought up the trade deadline. And I guess you could always use another ball handler and somebody else to shoot a three. But, I mean,
I got to tell you, obviously, you know, every team can use players, right? I mean, yeah. We're one team out of 30. But if you overlap players who would play in our playoff rotation, mm-hmm. with the players that are available, especially with so many teams who feel they are in it with the play-in game and everything, it gets down to a very small group of players.
Yeah,
it's not zero, but it's not like a big group of players that you say, oh, I he's better than this player.
Yeah.
This guy is someone Doc can use at the end of the game that's better than who we have. It's non-trivial. And look, I mean, we're turning over every rock, but it's not going to be straightforward. Like, hey, here's like we had last year with, you know, with a sort of a gaping hole that we needed to fix. So.
How did it feel Wednesday night? I mean, listen, there's a bit of closure that comes with every time he comes to town and then he plays, and I'll just call him he. And look, I know there's no KD at all, but I can tell you from our perspective, it feels good, I'll be honest with you, to beat him.
Yeah, I thought it'd be closer to a win-win. We actually do look for those kinds of deals. Yeah, it's a very small NBA circle. You know, but pieces of the trade have struggled. I think, you know, when Brooklyn's full strength, and I don't think we did play them full strength in one with our same group that won in Sacramento. But look, when there's full strength, they're a different look and their players fall into their roles better as well. So I think full strength, they're a very tough out. I'm glad we got the right side of them twice so far this year. Hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Yep, I'm with you, brother. Listen, the last thing, I know you follow this closely and you're close with Howie, and the job that we were just talking about, the job, the GM.
Oh, yeah, Executive of the Year.
How about
Howie?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I know how much you love him. And, you know, and the feeling's mutual on his end. He's talked about you to me many times. And it's really cool. I mean, you guys, and I'll include Dave Dombrowski in this thing, because some of the moves that he has made and coming off the World Series, I mean, you guys are, it's a great, you know, group of GMs going on right now.
Yeah, just great people. And as I think I've told you this, I got very frightened when I got the job in 2000, and it seemed like everyone on the radio was trying to run Howie out of town, and I'm like, didn't this guy just win the Super Bowl just like recently? So I'm really I'm thrilled for him. Everyone knows he's one of the best, if not the best, in football. And you know, he had me at training camp this year, as I think you saw, and I picked up so much from him and Coach C Sirianni, and yeah, it was really a great day.
Well, listen, we love you, Eel, and how you embrace the town and being there on Sunday, and it's really cool, and we got to continue the season.
I love you calling me Eel. Only two people call me Eel, Danny Ainge and you, so it's great. Well, actually, Kevin McHale does, too, because it's named out. They named it after his post move, so I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Anthony.
You got it, brother. The year of requital will continue, man. This is our year. Thanks. Appreciate it, brother. There he is, the great Daryl Morey on the Comcast Business Hotline.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, let's open up the vault first.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
So, a little bit of a different kind of theme today. And that's the beauty of the vault, because we can go all over the place, right? After the Eagles win on Sunday, we're going to be reliving a lot of the Super Bowl run, the 2017 Super Bowl run, the last Super Bowl run the Eagles have been a part of. So that's going to take over a lot next week's vaults. And, you know, a lot of times we do the This Day in History, we do celebrity birthdays and spins off of that. But Ant, you know, I had an idea that hit me this morning.
Yeah, buddy.
And it stems off of our conversations this week about disrespect. We've been disrespected a lot recently. Well, we've been disrespected, you know, just pretty much from the beginning of time. One snowball got thrown at Santa Claus and all of a sudden we're heathens. So the national media takes a lot of shots. And something that hit me this morning, and it's going off this Ben Simmons thing. Did you see what Ben Simmons did yesterday, by the way? Pulled himself out of the game.
I did.
Just another reason for the national media to apologize, because they took shots at us for how mean we were about the Sixers, about Ben Simmons, blah, blah, blah. And he showed his true colors this year. And has anybody apologized? No. So,
apologize. You like they're really going to apologize.
You know what I wanted to do today? I want to take shots at them. They always rip us.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to take shots at the national media today. And I want to relive some of their worst takes of all time.
Bad takes.
Because
I love the
they
bad
never want to hear it when they're wrong about something.
That's
and
awesome.
Yet they're wrong all the time. So I'm going to start off with something that just happened earlier this week so we can start off on a good note. Let's one more time.
I love bad takes.
Hear this stupid, you know, my dad got me this job, Chris Sims. And here's what he said earlier this week about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Supreme J.O.
If you were to switch the quarterbacks, would the result be different, right? And I think it's kind of interesting. You could do that for all the games. I don't know if any of the games would be different. But for this one specifically, like Daniel Jones now is under fire. Giants fans, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? Can we win with him? If he was playing for the Eagles and if Jalen Hurts was playing for the Giants, I mean, how much do the Eagles win by? 20 right. Still?
Well, yeah,
30?
I don't think
might be closer.
I don't think it's a whole lot different because Daniel Jones is going to be able to do the same thing. I mean, he can do some of the things that Jalen Hurts, yeah, maybe not as good a runner, but we know he's really close. It's not like, oh, whoa, way better.
Really close.
Again, if you're going to ask me who I'd rather have as a passer, I'd rather have Daniel Jones. I'm sorry.
I hate that part.
I'm sorry.
Stand by your opinion, damn it.
I'm sorry.
Like, why are you apologizing? So that, you know, I just wanted to start off with that.
I'm sorry. You want to be mad at me? I'm sorry. Talk about needs a slap.
Yeah, he definitely needs a slap. All right. Somebody just dropped earlier this weekend Mock Draft 1.0, which I'll be honest, I think is one of the dumbest things in January because you don't know what teams want yet. You don't know how.
I'll be honest with you.
I hate mock drafts.
I've seen them in There's a website that I love, that I actually love. It's the best, it's the greatest true website, football website.
Okay.
It's called the 33rd Team.
Okay.
In fact, Joe Banner's a part of this thing. This thing's legit. And they do the it's not really a mock as much as they rank the draft class.
Okay, that's fine. You know what I mean? But I don't like the mocks where they're talking about trades, yeah, where trades aren't good. They're deciding, yeah, trades, I mean, are ridiculous.
I know what people are trying to do.
Yeah. They're getting clicks, including one Mel Kiper. Here's Mel Kiper back in 2011, Ant, saying that Blaine Gabbert is going to be a hell of a quarterback, best quarterback in the draft.
Mel, to the quarterbacks now. Blaine Gabbert, number 8. Cam Newton at number 10.
First of all, Blaine Gabbert did work out in terms of that showing athleticism and that size, which is very imposing. Mobility, speed, quickness, and the interview process where you show that football acumen, that character, that face of the organization that you want your quarterback to be moving forward. So Blaine Gabbert, while he didn't throw, moved up, and I think firmly established himself right now as the top quarterback in this draft. Cam Newton needs to make amends during his pro day, but certainly for Blaine Gabbert, I think you could make an argument. He's in the mix for the number one pick overall.
Mel,
he should have been drafted number 1 overall, Blaine Gabbert, according to Mel Kiper. But I'm sure in one of his other mock drafts, Cam Newton would have been drafted number 1.
I will say this, though. Jimmy Kempsky, my cousin showed me this yesterday.
Okay.
Because my cousin Joe was a huge Jimmy Kempsky
guy. I like
guy.
Jimmy Kempsky.
I know.
Philly voice.
And so he goes, look, dude, look at Jimmy. Jimmy did this thing where with Mel Kiper, how he would have drafted your team. And he does the Eagles.
Okay.
And what we learned was he's got a good eye for linebackers. Like, his linebackers were pretty good. His linebacker picks were pretty good. And his receiver picks were good.
Okay.
Like, he liked T. Higgins. He liked Navarro Bowman. There was a couple other ones. So it was interesting.
Okay.
You know? And so Jimmy did it for all the teams. What Mel would have said.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I'm going to give a yo to Jimmy. That's
a good yo. All right, this guy's the biggest clown of them all, as we know, and I back-to-back from him. But Skip Bayless kids paid millions and millions of dollars to just say nonsense on a daily basis.
He is the supreme jerk off.
He really is, and he always has to say, like, this ridiculous statement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he can never just have a talk show. He has to go completely ridiculous.
Nah, he's the worst.
Here he is talking about Johnny Manziel, Ant, and how he's going to be bigger than the current biggest basketball player in the NBA.
And in a minute, I will go right down the list of teams that will forever regret passing on Johnny Manziel, who pretty soon will change football life in Cleveland, Ohio. One day, I am predicting, Johnny Manziel will become even bigger in the city of Cleveland than his buddy and business partner, LeBron James, ever was in the city of Cleveland.
Okay.
Like, look. I know he has to go and say things, and then he gets
they all take it to the nth degree.
But, like, Johnny Manziel.
Why did that become a thing? This is what I never understood. When yelling fire in a theater became a thing.
I don't know, man.
Like, when did that become a thing? Like, how was that guy still on the, like, that guy's made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen. He cares.
No, he doesn't.
He says whatever outlandish, absurd thing, ridiculous
thing. He goes to sleep soundly at night.
To cast a check.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He don't care.
He sleeps soundly at night.
Oh, my God. He don't know anything about sports. He probably doesn't even watch games.
You're probably right.
All right? He has his butler bring him whatever he wants. Get the hell out of here.
And yet people watch these shows.
Yeah, it's the audience. I don't even understand it.
All right, let me follow up with another ridiculous one, kind of that same extent with Johnny Manziel. But how about his favorite quarterback, Tim Tebow?
Are you trying to tell me in that statement you're going to sit here? You're going to sit. I swear to God.
Are you going to tell me that Tim Tebow deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as Kobe Bryant?
He's a bigger draw than Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Go to break.
I almost want to
walk off this set right now. I can't believe this man just said this out of his mouth. You're telling me that
Marcellus Wiley in the house?
Where is he?
He needs a blow.
Tim Tebow? He's out.
Tim
Tebow has more box office than Kobe Bryant?
Yes.
Than Kobe Bryant?
Yes.
Is Tim Tebow more box office than LeBron?
I think so. It's the National Football League. Go look at the numbers.
He was a big Tim Tebow guy. Skip Bayless, by the way. If we can get that music bed back up. Matt, I would appreciate it.
Jeez.
Moving on, here's one guy
he's just a giant box of hammers.
I'm sorry that you're losing brain cells from this vault today, but it's just so annoying.
This vault, I just want to...
You want to punch all these people.
It's hard.
All right, here's one that, look, I understand where he's coming from, and we thought that this guy could have been Josh Allen, but Colin Cowherd went out on the limb and said that Carson Wentz was already better than Josh Allen.
The way there's a real psychology here, Cleveland passed on Carson Wentz, and the Browns have very low sports self-esteem. Carson Wentz was a no-name kid, huge arm, great at the combine, big, tall, athletic. Carson Wentz is Josh Allen, except way better.
Way better. Way better than Josh Allen. Which, how'd that work out?
Yeah, well.
Look, they could have been similar, but you're going way better than Josh Allen. That did not play out well. All right, last one, and this is, to me, one of the worst takes of all time. And this is the... People ask me, oh, why don't you like these shows? Well, because of moments like this.
Who asked you that?
Well, you know what?
Nobody asked you that.
No, Johnny the K knows somebody that's a part of the First Take show. One of the producers.
Okay.
And the producer was listening to me on a weekend one day.
I can't believe you're taking shots at the show.
Well, there's no way this is actually a legit statement. But Max Kellerman is underrated in terms of stupidity. Stupid takes.
I was just on there with him and Keyshawn.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy and all. But they were talking...
I was giving my Philadelphia defense.
So this is when he was still...
The Giants. Oh, a guy told Keyshawn, yeah. I go, dude, I said it's going to be Eagles 9. Why, you count out the Cowboys? You count yourselves a win? Giants are going to win. I go, dude, it's not even going to be close. Double-digit win by the Eagles and the Cowboys lose to the Niners. Did I get invited back for them to say that you were right?
No, of course not. No, they don't do that.
No.
Which bothers me.
Creeps.
So this is when Max Kellerman used to go First creeps. Take. And they had a conversation about you could pick anybody in NBA history to take a game-winning shot for you.
Oh, my God.
All right, anybody, okay? Here's his answer.
Of everyone on Golden State, open shot, fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth, you better hit it. I want Iguodala. That's right.
They had Steph. They had Clay.
Oh, my God.
They had Kevin Durant.
Oh, my God.
Iguodala.
First of all, that dude should never speak about basketball ever.
No.
First of all, Iguodala was a terrific defender. Yes. He was a great athlete, right? He shot a knuckleball. There was no rotation on his shot. None. He's got no rotation. He shoots a knuckleball. So, yo, Max, the Martians have come to roost.
Yeah.
He must be a Martian.
We're dead.
He sold his soul to the Martians. Choosing Iguodala. Out of your mind.
Yep.
That's what these dudes. I can't even think about it. It's all acting. You know
it
that.
It is acting.
It's all acting.
But it's annoying that we get shots.
Like a nothing. Jerk off.
We get shots
That's
all the
what
time,
it is.
Man. It bothers me.
It's the NFC Championship game. You do this thing now.
Why do I want this all out? Screw them. We always, Michael Wilbon calls us hell. Your network's hell sometimes.
All right.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
From The Athletic, he covers the Birds. I love him, man. He's a great read, whole thing. Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zachariah!
Anthony, thanks for having me on. Happy championship weekend.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's so much fun. I mean, listen, you as a guy covering the team, I mean, you know, you always want to be we always want it to matter. More people, sure. The most people to read your work, and you've done such a great job all year covering this team. So I know you're amped up for this thing. You're a football guy.
I appreciate you saying that. Yes, absolutely. Right. This, you know, you want more eyeballs, and there's the interest is through the roof. It's like that all year, but it raises to a different level when they're in the championship game and if they win in these next 2 weeks. So, it's an exciting time to cover it. And I can't wait for Sunday.
All right, well, you and I always go inside it. So let's dive inside the game plan and let's look at it. First, let's look at Eagles offense versus the Niner defense. A formidable front, as we know, very good against the run, as we know. That is a couple spots to attack. Most of all, I think down the field with A.J. Brown, I think you can get plays down the field. Lamb was open. I mean, I've watched Niners all year. It's a great defense. But the corner spot, they're good at safety. You know they're great linebackers. But you could beat them on the outside. I think A.J. has a big game.
Yeah, you're right. Explosive plays are where you should really be watching here. And if you simply go back to that Chiefs game, and I know that might not be the best comparison because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs were able to beat them downfield a few times. And just if you look at the numbers, that's where there's a bit of vulnerability in this 49ers defense. And even if you think back to the game in week two last year, Quez Watkins had that 91-yard reception. So I do think that's something that the Eagles, they always want to get explosive plays, in particular early in the game. But that's definitely something to watch. You hit it on the head with AJ. Now, the 49ers stack up well this year against number one receivers. They're more vulnerable against number twos, and beyond that, number threes, they're actually particularly vulnerable. So maybe this is a game when Quez gets something going like he did last year. But I'll say this is why you paid A.J. Brown $100 million. Yeah. And the most catches A.J. Brown has in his entire career came against this 49ers defense last December. He had an 11-catch game, 150-plus yards. So he's someone who's done well against this defense. It's different personnel in that secondary, but this needs to be an A.J. Brown week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could see it all the way, man. It's interesting. You brought up Quez. A lot of Pascal against the Giants, and here's my reaction. You'll know better than I would, but it seems to me, that they like Pascal better blocker on the outside, and that's why he got a lot of snaps. You think you'll see more Pascal than Quez again?
You hit it on the head in terms of why you saw more Pascal last week, and kind of the playing time distribution there. It depends on certain looks. They like Pascal in as a blocker, but also in that short to intermediate passing game, right? Where Quez helps you more is in stretching the field. He's got that 4.35 speed, and I think that so it depends on kind of down and distance. Quez would be there for more of the shot plays, and Pascal for more of the short and the intermediate game. And I think both will play. And it'll just be based on situation.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. All right, so then let's also look at the front or the Niner front with Bosa. So Hembo had an interesting stat about Bosa against the run and how he ranks 180th out of 195 against the run. And you know they haven't seen a lot of RPO teams like the Eagles. You know, what do you kind of look at? Now, they've got great linebackers. They're fast. They can flow to the ball. I think that Jalen's going to have to kind of, you know, let it all hang out in this game. I thought the coaches did a great job at showing just enough without it overexposing him last week. But I think this week you're going to need him to carry the ball.
I'm glad you mentioned that about the 49ers not really playing quarterbacks who have as much of an effect in the run game as Jalen this year. I mean, they played Justin Fields in week one when the Bears hadn't really shifted their offense yet and it was in like monsoon-like conditions. It wasn't the Justin Fields running game that you saw otherwise. And then Marcus Mariota had a decent game running against them when the 49ers were missing key parts of their defense. But they haven't really faced quarterbacks who affect the running game like Jalen does. And I think that's important to mention because I remember specifically last year the Eagles played the Saints. Saints were number one run defense in the NFL, and the Eagles had a historic running game against them. And what it was explained to me is that the Eagles' run offense is so much different than the way other teams are that you can't really compare traditional handoff teams to the Eagles because they threaten run defenses different ways. And I think that's going to be a big thing to watch here is that the run game with the Eagles, and we saw this when Jalen was out, it's based around Jalen, the threat yes. that he presents, the plus one factor in the running game, and the Eagles need Jalen to be the yeah. centerpiece of this rush offense on Sunday, and I think that's what you're going to see.
Where is he at, you think, health-wise with that shoulder? Where do you think he's at?
I think he's good enough, right? I mean, I think that's the key. Is that it's easy for me to say this on the radio because I'm not the one dealing with any pain. But I don't think there's going to be any restrictions to the way he plays, to the play calling. I think you're going to see the Jalen Hurts you saw for the first 15 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I feel you on that. All right, let's look at the other side of the ball. All right, the other side of the ball is interesting because obviously. You know that the Niners have a terrific, you know, run game, right? They'll come at you with McCaffrey, and you got Elijah Mitchell, Debo, and they got the chess pieces, right? You got, you know, Debo, and you got Ayuk, and you got Kittle. And all is going to come down to Purdy. Now, the one area that the Niners' offensive line is a little susceptible, their weak spot, is in the interior part of their O-line. They have really good tackles. But the interior part of that line against, I think, a deep Eagles middle of their D-line, right? The tackles are terrific, collapsing the line of scrimmage. You know, I think the Eagles' defense can have some success against the Niner offense, and particularly when it comes to if you can get them into third and longer, like six or seven, that's where you might be able to get to Purdy a little bit.
I'm agreeing with you with everything you're saying here today because that's going to be the key to this game is in terms of Eagles defense is getting them into third and medium, third and long. If San Francisco's living in third and short, they're so good in the middle of the field. They're so good, you know, with the running game that they can make that work in third and short. If you get this in the third and medium, third and long, and it's more of a drop back game, let's say. For Purdy, the Eagles pass rush then gets after you. So I think that is something to watch. I frankly think that more of a concern than San Francisco's running is their play action game, which obviously is based on the run and the way they use the middle of the field. That's where the Eagles are vulnerable and that's where San Francisco can get them. So the way the Eagles need to combat that is they need to get San Francisco into, you know, 37, 3rd and 8. That's a totally different game. That's a totally different world to live in for them than 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3.
Yeah, with you. He has, and you can see it. I mean, he goes down the middle of the field. He loves the seams, and so they have success with Kittle and with Juwan Jennings like that. Yeah, and Debo obviously because he's always really that good. What's the status of when you look at the Eagles secondary right now? And I'm just curious at you know how do you feel them like how they're going to line up?
So Avante was back at practice yesterday on a limited basis, but watching him, he looked fine. Right? I mean,
he
now
did?
I
kept thinking Maddox would not be around for this week because I've been hearing conflicting reports.
That's why I spoke to him yesterday, and he said he needs to see how these next 2 days go. But he felt good at practice. He's progressing. I can frankly see him out there, and I mean that would be huge for the Eagles. Now the question is kind of how they deploy them because Gardner Johnson played well in the slot and. If you remember, actually, when CJ first went down, they played Avante at safety in that, and he looked good there. So there's different possibilities the Eagles can try, and it can be based on matchup. I think the Eagles are going to be living in a five man front for most of this game,
Yeah.
And so you're looking at kind of like a 5-1-5 there, right? And you're going to have Maddox and you're going to have Garner Johnson on the field, assuming Avante's healthy enough to play. And in that case, there's different ways that you can deploy those D backs, and they're going to be huge in the middle. I think Slay and Bradbury are the best cornerback combination in the NFL. I mean, they were great last week, but the key this week is not necessarily the coverage, although I suppose the coverage is key every week. It's the tackling, right? Where San Francisco was so dangerous is the run after the catch. Their explosive plays, they're not going to come 40 yards over your head. They're going to come 15 yards over the middle, you know, and then 25 yards running. And so the Eagles, and this includes Slay and Bradbury, really need to be on their game as tacklers.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, what's going to be interesting, really, is the health of McCaffrey, the calf, right? And sure. I know he brushed it off, and, oh, I'm fine. But you and I both know calves are funny and they're tricky, and they like to deploy him in so many different ways, a myriad of ways where they'll run him down, they'll line him up right on the outside, they'll work a wheel with him, you know, they'll dump it off in the backfield screens. I mean, there's a million ways they use him, and you saw at the end of that Dallas game, you know, they had to use Elijah Mitchell except for a couple of the third down plays.
Yeah, I mean, I've been monitoring the health reports. I tend to think that in a championship game, if the guy's able to play, he's going to play. But sure, if McCaffrey's not at full health, then it's a huge factor. I mean, the Eagles have been vulnerable against backs catching the ball out of the backfield, mm-hmm. yep. and McCaffrey does that as well or better than any running back in the NFL. I remember when he was coming out in 2017 talking to someone who said that if he had WR next to his name instead of RB, he would still be a first-round pick just because of how much of a threat he is in the passing game. And you've seen that. He's been 80, 90, 100 catches in the NFL. The Eagles, if McCaffrey's on the field, you need to know where he is at all times because you get him the ball in space and he turns a 5-yard catch into a 15-yard gain.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I keep thinking, and I wonder about the calf, and, you know, just because they really are phony. So that'll be interesting to watch. Now, let's go back to the major piece of this thing, right? The major piece is Brock Purdy, right? Mm-hmm. Purdy is the whole thing, because you saw him against Dallas, and early on, man, he looked a little freaked, right? He's had a great, listen, he's been terrific since he's come in, and you know, respect the game because he's been really well, played really well. But, you know, I thought the Dallas defense freaked him a little bit. And he does this thing, and he saw what he did against Seattle, and he did it against Dallas, where he rolls to his left, right? Not to his right, his off hand, and he does that weird pirouette when he gets in some trouble to try to pie some time, and he'll usually try to throw it away. But, like, when he does that, I've seen him do it a few times now, that could be something where he makes a mistake.
It's a good point. And, yeah, I mean, I think Dallas certainly hit him the most that of any team he's faced. It's hard to knock the record. And, you know, I've really spent a lot of time thinking about Purdy this week, obviously. And I try to divorce kind of the context from the player sometimes because so much of the way I think about him is, you know, seventh round pick, Mr.
Right.
Irrelevant rookie quarterback, right? And what I keep asking myself is if I didn't know that, if I just watched him play, would I have a different thought about him? But to your point, there have been times this year, in particular that, you know, that Cowboys game, there was a point early in some of the other games too, where you look at it and you say he is, you know, a quarterback trying to figure this out, right? And a few conditions that you need to consider is that he's had the best field position, the best average starting field position in the NFL since he took over. Okay. You know, that's that 49ers defense. And that's kind of the way Kyle Shanahan manages the game. Number one, he really hasn't had to play on the road. He's been on the road in Vegas and Seattle, but otherwise it's been a home heavy schedule. Right. And they've mostly been playing with leads. Okay. So. Yeah. When you look at that from the Eagles' perspective, here you are, it's a hostile environment. okay? And he, you know, the Eagles, it's critical for them to try to get to a lead to force Purdy into being a drop-back quarterback. And then, you know, the third thing is it's obvious to say field position is critical. Field position is critical I'm basically every week. But the 49ers are so good at turnover differential that the Eagles can't be giving the 49ers short fields, right? That's part of what has made it work with Purdy in the lineup. So you need to force Purdy to be driving the ball 75, 80 yards as opposed to 45, 50 yards.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I keep going back to it. And, you know, it's a great matchup. Should be a great football game. But I do think the Eagles have a decisive advantage. And at home, where it's going to be loud, and you mentioned, you know, where Purdy has played before, I think it's going to come down to being a quarterback game. And if it's like the way I think it's going to be, and it's a quarterback game, it's going to be Jalen every time.
Well, you're right. If it's a quarterback game, the Eagles have a decided advantage there. I don't think any objective person can argue otherwise. Now, it's like the expression styles make fights, right? I think a lot of this depends on the type of style this game is. It would work in the 49ers' advantage if the game is like that Niners-Cowboys game last week, where it's a low-scoring fourth quarter game, right? If this game is played in the teens in the fourth quarter, it's probably going the way the Niners want it to go. But if the Eagles can jump off to a lead and they can force Purdy to be a drop-back quarterback in that environment, that favors the Eagles. I don't think the Niners are beating the Eagles in a shootout, right? I think if the Niners are beating the Eagles, it's a 17-13 game, right? Kind of thing. So that's going to be critical to watch. And I know a lot was made among the fan base last week about, you know, the Eagles losing the coin toss and getting the ball first. But there was something to that about the offense scoring on that opening possession.
We talked about that last Friday.
I even said that to you.
I said, with the ball, go out and punch him in the face and go down and score.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I might be changing my opinion on that, because I'm kind of saying, well, you know, the data really speaks to the advantage you get when you defer, and if you can score at the end of the half and then get the ball back at the second half. But in terms of tone of the game, there was something real. It was real in that Giants game. And when the Eagles can go down and score the ball first and put the other team on their heels, that has such a factor in this game. So I'm curious to see, if the Eagles win the coin toss, what happens there?
Yeah, it's funny. I wanted the ball first against the Giants because I didn't fear the reverse. I thought it was important for the Eagles to play with a lead, because I just think if you got ahead of them, I think it's lights out, right, for the Giants. Now, with San Francisco, I would defer and take the ball in the second half, because I think it's going to be a good football team, good football game, very, a little more even in that sense. And I'd rather have the ball in the second half, you know.
Sure.
Because I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, though.
Yeah, I am too. You know, it's going to be so much fun, man. I'm just ultimately, you're picking the Eagles, right? Officially.
Yeah, I'm picking the Eagles here because I think that they have the advantage of at quarterback, right, which is critical. They're the home team here. I think that matters here. They have an extra day rest. San Francisco played Sunday, flying across the country. The Eagles were done Saturday night. They're rested. They're healthier. San Francisco's a really good team. I mean, talent-wise, for them to be in the NFC Championship game 3 out of 4 years, and I know they have a rookie quarterback, but you look at that roster, they are loaded. But I think the Eagles are too, right? I think if the Eagles play their game, they should win this.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling you, buddy. I think the same thing. So it should be a blast to watch. Enjoy it, my brother. And then hopefully we'll be talking Super Bowl next week.
I hope so. I hope I talk to you next week. Thanks, Anthony.
See you, buddy. The great Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline, doing a nice job for the Athletic. Really good job covering the team.
He's
for the Athletic.
He's great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.